Hi everybody, it's Alex from Fitter Body Ladies and we are here for our third podcast. So things are going well. Obviously at Fitter Body Ladies, we help ladies over the age of 30 get fitter, build confidence, work out, learn about food. But also a lot of us are going, as we age, that's a nice way of putting it, we are finding that more and more ladies are, and everybody, every one of us is going to go through this, are having or going through the menopause. Now, I know over the last 12, 18 months, it's become much more prevalent in the media. So Davina McCall's done a lot about it. Gabby Logan, she's talked a lot about it. And it has become much more talked about rather than an ignored subject. So today I wanted to, I'll just let you know, I am not currently going through the menopause. I do believe I am a little bit of a change taking place.
It sneaks up on you.
There you go. I've definitely noticed a couple of things, but I was like, you know, okay, maybe it's just me, but no, I genuinely think that things are changing. I have had my blood tests and they were like, everything seems to be okay on that day. But as a friend of mine said, well, what happens the following day and the day after that and the day after that? So I'm probably going to look into it a little bit more, but I don't feel at this precise moment in time I am suffering from any menopausal symptoms or perimenopausal symptoms. Now, from what I understand, the menopause is when you have gone 12 full months without a period.
Correct.
Is that correct, everybody? Okay. And so today I've brought along two guests, Deborah, who is a member at our Wellingborough Fitter Body Ladies, and Julie, who is the owner of the Fitter Body Ladies Wellingborough branch and Kettering and Newport Pagnell. Ladies, can I just ask Deborah firstly, would you say you have gone through the menopause or you are experiencing perimenopausal symptoms?
I am experiencing perimenopausal symptoms.
Okay. And Julie, yourself?
Technically, on the 26th of March, I will be in menopause.
Oh.
I will have done full 12 months.
Jeez.
Menopause birthday.
Yes.
That will be my menopause birthday. And I did check the dates before I left.
Does that feel really weird? Like having gone like that many years with periods and all of a sudden you're like...
I haven't missed the periods because I had 18 months of really bad periods.
Pre that.
Yes. Which was my starting point for this is... got to be
something,
which is when we sort of went to the doctors and I started learning about perimenopause and menopause, but that was the point. So yeah, after 18 months of having really bad energy levels through just being sort of 12, 14 days on a period, 10 days off and then back on again for 18 months, I was quite pleased when it all stopped.
So that's what initially triggered you to kind of think actually something's make there's a change happening.
Yeah, I mean, once I obviously started learning about the symptoms, I think I was probably about 42 when I started.
So what symptoms, that's what I wanted to ask now. So for you, Julie, what symptoms have, okay, so if you go back to 42, what was it like, what sort of things, if you go back, if you didn't really at that time think, oh yeah, actually I'm having the menopause, what things now you look back were happening that caused you?
Yeah, I think that the symptoms that sort of started, things like dry, itchy skin. It's described often as like you feel like you've got spiders crawling all over you. You suffer from this too, don't you? It's really horrible because you're sitting there suddenly watching the TV and suddenly your foot goes into spasm and it's like you're raking at it and Steve's like, what on earth are you scratching at, woman? So that was probably my first thing, was the really dry, itchy skin and my hair falling out. As in the hairbrush, loads of hair. I'm like, this can't be.
Okay. Did you notice any like bald? Had you like, so when you ran your fingers through your hair, did you think, oh God, this is thin?
No, it just will pull out quite easily.
Okay.
Nails, just completely gone really thin, really weak, splitty, breaky. So yeah, there was quite a few things when I've gone through, looking back, actually that was happening. And it was the start and I didn't notice for... So yeah, from 42 to 47, I think I was having various symptoms. And at 47, the hot flushes started. And yeah, then the madness of the 18 months of...
Crazy periods,
really heavy periods, really bad iron deficiency... until the point of yeah, they stopped last March. So yeah, just coming up to my
okay. So they just all of a sudden they stopped. You just didn't get any more.
Just stopped.
Okay. Just
didn't have another one. So
Deborah, what about yourself? So what? When do you think you started?
Yeah. So I think for me, looking back now, it's more the hot flushes.
Okay.
So early 40s again, probably 42 to 45, something like that. You'd get up in the morning, you'd either sleep and just be really hot overnight and not quite know what was going on.
Yeah.
Have a shower in the morning, dry your hair.
Yeah.
And then feel like you needed another shower because your face was just dripping.
Okay.
And you can't cool yourself. I'd literally be stood with my head out the window, like trying to cool down because you just feel this like intense burn up your body.
Yeah, it comes through your chest.
Does
yeah,
it?
Really? All the way up, yeah.
You just feel this heat coming up. Just rising. All up your throat.
Oh, I call it. I'm always cold.
And then it comes round.
Yeah. And if you put your hand on the top of your head, you literally feel heat coming out of your head. You just can't cool down. So looking back on it now,
okay,
I didn't really think about it at the time, but it's like you said, there was nothing really in the press, in the news.
No.
My sister wasn't going through it, so didn't know any friends that were.
So leading on to that, did your mum ever talk about it?
No.
Oh, see, my mum talked about it.
So did mine.
Right. My mum said, it's awful. She said, you've got this to look forward to.
Yeah, my mum went on HRT, which was really... Cause it was
yeah, at that time, you were told, don't do it.
But it didn't suit her, so she didn't... It helped certain things, but she suffered from the heavy periods, which is one thing where I knew it was 100%. She went through the same sort of 18 months of really bad periods before she actually... completed the
okay so going, staying on the periods, just talking about my example, I have always had irregular or and heavy periods,
yeah,
but did you, so how do I know, do you think, whether or not, like, because I like they've said that basically I've got a really low blood count, and I don't know whether that's a symptom of that or just the fact that I've got heavy periods, because I don't seem to feel any. The only one that I've really got is the brain fog, or the total loss of brain function. Like one minute you mid conversation, and then you're just like,
forget what you're going to talk about.
I haven't got no idea what I was talking about. Or and I actually it worried me to the point where I thought, oh no, this is the beginning. I thought, oh god, I'm going mental.
I get up, go out the kitchen.
Yeah.
Walk in the kitchen, get there, and go, what did I come out?
Yeah.
Yep. It's crazy.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I know I've always been a little bit like that, but like now it can be like...
I can be writing.
I can be talking to somebody dead in a conversation and I just am like...
Forget where you are mid-sentence.
Go on.
I do a lot of obviously social media writing, and I can be writing away and I'll come to a word and I, for the life of me, can't remember what a banana's called.
Yes, it's the yellow thing that's long and... you can describe it,
and
but
I'm
you've no idea. Yeah.
Going, what's that thing called?
I've had a few of those moments where I'm like... You know, when you go like this and you push it like that and,
I know.
And
you're going a bit mental.
You mean a button?
Do.
Yeah, that's the word.
You feel like you're going a bit crazy.
Yeah. Okay, so going back to your symptoms then. So that was the beginning. And then where are you now? What sort of things?
So I think for me, it then hit... Well, so my periods changed as well.
Okay.
So my periods weren't particularly heavy normally. When I first started, they were quite light.
Okay.
So noticeably, they changed into, as Julie mentioned, really heavy, but prolonged. So they might start light for a couple of days and you think, is this actually my period? Is it not my period? What's going on?
Do you think that's your body just basically saying, get out?
Maybe. Yeah.
That's it.
Just get
rid of it.
Just will you stop this?
Yeah.
It'd be nice if it was. She would hurry up.
I just have what I call fake periods.
Yeah. So you think you're having one and then it stops. I might go for 4 days and it completely stops. And I'm like, oh, is that it? Is it stopping now?
Oh.
And then 3 days of absolute madness. But yeah, it'll be anything, probably 10 days is an average.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Okay, so mine are probably around about 7 days from first start to beginning now, but they always have been. It's not like I'm...
You haven't noticed a change.
Not really, no. So hopefully mine will go the other way and they'll just go really light and I'll just gradually fade away like that. That would be okay. Okay. So currently then, symptoms-wise.
Yes. So the sort of periods irregularity and heaviness, fatigue, just tired. So I went through a stage and that's when I actually, I think, started thinking about... Is this actually the start of all this?
Okay.
Because I remember my sister going to the doctor because she was absolutely exhausted. Yeah. Although she did a lot. Yeah. So, and they did the test and said to her, actually, you're perimenopausal.
Okay.
And she's actually gone on patches and she's sort of...
Yeah, that's the next question I was going to ask about what you're taking.
And so she said, go and get yourself checked. And at that point when I did, they said, you're not perimenopausal. And I was like, how am I not? I'm absolutely exhausted. I mean, I actually stopped going to the gym for weeks because I literally couldn't get up. So then it took a while for it to actually kick in.
Okay.
And I'd also got, as it turned out, another health issue was also making me tired at the same time, which they picked up at the same time. Otherwise, okay. I probably wouldn't have known.
Okay.
But yeah, so tiredness, itchy, dry skin. And yeah, still hot flushes, still have my head out the window every now and again.
What about hair, things like that?
No, my hair went dry, but I haven't had any sort of fallout any more than normal.
Okay.
No, and then again, the brain fog, the forgetting stuff.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, I guess.
I know that can send some people totally, I mean, do that.
I gave up my job before and left, and I'm actually quite glad I did, because now I sit there and I think, how on earth would I have remembered all those things to function? When you hear stories from people and you listen to Davina and people like that, you just think, I mean, I can't remember basic stuff sometimes. It's like you said, and you're just like, well, how do you function at work?
If, yeah.
You know, no, depending on what you do.
I get that. Okay, so going on, so symptoms-wise, okay, that's interesting to know, because I imagine, and I know that some people can get away with quite light symptoms, but some people can have really extreme, you know, depression, things like that. Yeah. What about your own, so your mum didn't talk about it.
No, I did ask her recently. I just said, did you ever remember it?
And what did she say?
She basically, so I was brought up in a farm and they were out on the farm all the time.
Yeah.
And she said they were in and out all the time, rushing around. And she said it was one of those things she kind of didn't really think about it. It wasn't something her mum ever spoke to her about.
Mm.
And she says, looking back, clearly she went through it, but she just kind of got on with things. And I think it was that she kind of said my dad wasn't the most supportive in terms of, so it was almost like, come on, just get up and get on and do the farm work. And that was it. So she was expected to get on with it. So she did. So to her, it wasn't really a big thing. So she never went on to HRT or nobody really talked to her about it. So she clearly went through it, but it's not something that in her mind she could pinpoint and say, this is what happened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
what about yours? See, my mum talked about it quite a lot. I'm trying to think. She said she was around in her early 50s when hers really started. I think because she had a child quite late, and I don't know whether that was kind of like a knock-on, but she said, I was living away at that point. But yeah, again, I think she got a little bit down. She had the hot flushes, the not sleeping, things like that. I don't think she wouldn't say, oh, it was awful, but... there were definitely symptoms that she had. What about you then, Julie?
So my mum definitely had mood swings. Or my dad blamed my mum's mood swings. Yeah. Oh, she's just going through the change.
And it was called that, wasn't it?
The change. That was the reference that was used openly in our house. So we knew that mum was going through the change. And I know that she tried HRT, as I said, for quite a while, but she just didn't get on with it at the time. Patches as it was. And then when she came off HRT, all her periods stopped.
Okay.
So she had the heavier periods, but the HRT didn't help them. But since she came off HRT, she stopped. But she, like me, was in her very early 50s.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And I was just going to say, I think, you know, like if you think back to like years ago, women were put in sanatoriums. I actually think that potentially that was when people were put in it, because people didn't really understand enough about it.
I wrote a really good bit of information that I found about, and it's not about it's new, because it's not new.
It's not new.
But going back 100 years, basically, women were either pregnant, malnutritioned, so they didn't have periods, or they were dead. Because that was their life cycle. They got to an age where they were having 12, 15 children. And they were either that underweight and nutrition if they didn't have periods, or they died a pretty young age. So it's not new, but it's more prevalent.
And we're more aware of it because we live longer.
Because we're living longer, and we've got healthier lifestyles. We're only having one or two children or no children. So that's why it's more in everybody's forefront and minds now. And it's not that it's new, it's just that...
And people with platforms are talking about it.
Yes.
They're not, it's not, which is a good thing. Yeah, of course it is. It's a good thing. Yeah. I think especially maybe for the men in our lives, the understanding, we aren't going crackers. We are, well, yeah, I think my husband thinks I am anyway, but, you know, and helping them to deal with the symptoms and things like that. Yeah. So in terms of how you do deal with the symptoms, do you, either of you take HRT or take any supplements or anything that you find that work?
So I haven't gone into HRT yet. Okay. I don't feel like I'm, I shouldn't have done if I should say this or not that extreme at this point, but yeah. You know, I do have friends that have had really struggled sort of mentally yeah. and just felt like they were going to crack and they're like, I need something. And as I said, my sister just couldn't operate without having something.
Yeah.
So up until now, literally, Julie's gym, exercise, trying to eat better.
Yeah.
Exercise, I think, really helps for me. It's more... It's clearing your head, motivating you, giving you a bit more energy, mm-hmm. Just giving you that bump, I think, in the morning, the endorphin kick.
Yeah.
So even though sometimes it's very hard to get out of bed and go,
yeah.
That helps me. And then also I have tried supplements, just sort of Holland and Barrett, you know.
Yeah. Like menopause care.
But I'm just switched on to try another, some powders of natural ingredients or natural stuff that somebody's recommended.
Okay.
I've just started for a week, so
okay, well, you need to keep us updated,
yeah,
on
see how that goes.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stick with that at the moment, and then clearly if anything changes or it gets worse, or you know,
when do they advise that you go on HRT if you're going to go on it? Do they say
no? It's I think it's very much down to who you're talking to and how persuasive you are, to be fair.
I think it's
really very much GP reliant. I couldn't get an appointment to see my GP to even talk about it. But in September, I don't know if you know, but a product came online called Gina. So basically you don't have to go to the GP now. Okay. You can just go to a chemist.
Oh, okay.
Fill out a short questionnaire and take it. It's pessary.
Yeah.
So you don't actually have to go to the doctors now.
And it's a hormone replacement.
Yeah, and I also, it's estrogen.
Estrogen,
so,
I
put a progesterone cream on.
Okay, and is that GP?
So, no.
No, that's all that Gina?
That's, no, that's online. And there's loads of those online creams.
Okay.
And
how do you find, have you found that's helped?
They've just helped. Yeah, okay. I wouldn't say they've eliminated it.
No.
But they've helped. But again, we've just gone down the road of, practice what you preach.
Yeah.
But healthy eating, so lots of fresh veg, loads of water, trying to keep balance throughout the day. So eating my calories evenly really helps me. If I sort of skip breakfast or lunch, then it just sends everything haywire. So yeah, just trying to keep active as well, getting plenty of steps in every day, wear myself out so I sleep really through the hot brushes.
Do you find that's worse at night for you? Your
the hot flushes are pretty horrendous, and it is virtually quilt on, quilt off. I sleep with a thin summer quilt with the windows open, even through this freezing weather now, and I'm still chucking the quilt off, waking up, soaking wet. So, yeah, it's the hot flushes are probably the hardest bit.
I around my period tend to get the night sweats.
Yeah.
That's what I tend to get. Not to the point where I'm like... dripping I do wake up and I'm like sweaty.
It's hot.
Sweaty. But I do have a massive duvet and a big because I hate the cold and I have an electric blanket, so I don't like I'll put that on before I go to bed and get into bed.
Sleep
naked. Well, I sleep naked but I just like I like getting into a warm bed.
I have to get into a cold bed. Even in how bad it was over the summer when it was really hot, I was sleeping with ice packs.
I cannot imagine. You can buy ice pillows
and things.
I know,
I have got it all. I've got ice towels. I've got a cooling blanket. They're designed for dogs.
I was just going to say, I'm not sure if I should say that, but I was using a dog cooling mat.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Absolutely.
And the dog cooling mat. In bed.
Or just sitting on the sofa as well if I was just too hot, yeah.
But it gets that hot.
My legs burn like they're on fire.
I have to have it between my legs. So I have an
ice
pack.
Why did you whisper? They're listening to you.
I have an ice pack wrapped in a towel and lay on my side between my legs, laying on a dog bed. So it's a cooling mat that's designed for pets. But it's brilliant in the summer.
You need to get onto them and say you need to market this to to women who have got women with hot flushes. Okay.
Just going back to your point, Julie, you said about the eating regularly, because that's something that I've noticed as well. My blood sugars
are
up and down all over the place.
So I have to eat little and often, especially in the mornings. Okay. That's when I get more hot flushes.
Yeah.
Oh, and you
also
find that...
that's where my blood sugars are all over the place. But by the afternoon, it calms down a bit better. But I do have to eat more regularly, yeah, in little bits, and drink loads. I get really dehydrated.
I get thirsty, yeah, now. Like, I have to be drinking, yes, like, minimum 2 litres. If I'm not drunk enough by the end of the day, I know it about. I'm like literally like, look, even before bed, which then means I'm up about 6 times a night doing a wee. But, okay. Did your parents, your mum didn't take HRT or anything like that? Okay, no, so that's fine. No. Yeah, because a long time ago, well, my mum says, you know, when she was scheduled to take it, it was all about the risk of cancer, and of things like that.
Yeah.
So, okay. And exercise then. You find that exercise really helps you.
Yeah, I think for me it's possibly not just your body in that, but also your head. I think it's just, I don't know, it gives me more energy, it wakes you up, it doesn't necessarily solve the fog problem in your head, but I think you just feel a bit more with it.
Okay.
And I notice on a day when I don't go, you just don't feel like you've got the same energy levels.
Okay, and have you found that you like you get a better result from certain types of training? So, like, if you're doing loads of cardio, does it really whack you out? Or if you're doing more strength-based
work? It depends
work?
Probably a little bit on when your period is as well. I do find I can get absolutely wiped for a couple of days on my period. But
and I didn't used to get that when I was younger. I used to be able to train all the way through and be like, this is fine. But actually now, either side of my period, I'm like, I'm either well on it and I'm like, and then I think, actually.
Are you moody with it, though?
Am I moody with it? Definitely
short-tempered.
I do feel a bit short-tempered.
Get stressed about things that wouldn't normally bother you. And I just look at myself sometimes and go, why am I even getting stressed about that? And it's
call myself narky sometimes. I get narky.
Oh yeah, like sometimes I think I'm just a horrible person.
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes I just think that was really uncool. Like in my head, I'm like,
I know. You're throwing yourself, like telling yourself off. Yeah.
But then you talk to yourself more, I think, as well as you get older. Like I literally can. My daughter sometimes goes, "What did you say?" And I go, "I've just had a conversation in my head, and I had to say that bit out loud. That was all that happened." She's like,
"All the time.
Oh, you are just a bit strange." Okay.
But so, I think it is important. Just going back to that, though, there are so many things that you can do to help menopause by
that aren't medication. That's right.
Things to avoid. And things to help, and every symptom is different.
Yeah.
But the key thing is, if you're experiencing multiple symptoms, just try and solve one symptom at a time.
Yeah.
And then you'll find that that will help other symptoms. And then there are other things that you can cut back on, or eat more of, or drink more of, that will help with multiple symptoms.
Yeah. And I think, obviously, we're not doctors, but again, if you're feeling really, you know, menopause, or you think I can't cope with this, go and see a doctor.
Oh, definitely.
Go
and see a doctor.
Go and see a doctor.
And if you don't get any joy with your GP, go and see another GP.
Yeah, and also
and go and see another GP.
A friend of mine, she's tracking her symptoms on the Balance app. Yep. Now, I haven't used the Balance app, but somebody, there's a lady in Leamington Spa, I think, or Rugby, around that area, and she designed it. It's called the Newsome Clinic, and she has designed this Balance app. And so, literally, you can put in your symptoms to check where you are, and I think it makes recommendations in it that it says, obviously, if you're feeling, you need to go and see a doctor and that sort of thing. So, so I've got all this to look forward to.
Yeah, you have.
I imagine
spread
that
the good
I'm gradually.
News,
yeah.
I think the thing is, well, for ladies to think about, it's not about, don't wait until you're in menopause or you're experiencing menopause.
I would say
the fitter and healthier you are approaching your 40s, will just help alleviate.
Well, that was the question I was going to lead on to. If you were going to look back to your 35-year-old, 30-year-old, 25-year-old self, what would you say to yourself about? Because we're all going to go through it. There's just no getting away with it. What would you say to that 25, 30-year-old you about what you're going to experience and what you think you should be aware of and how to maybe manage it before you get crazy symptoms or you kind of like, oh, I don't know what's going on? Because I think that younger women, they know it's going to happen, but they're not really aware of what's going to come. You know, what's going to happen? Even I'm not. You know, I've done quite a bit of training on it now, but until you're experiencing it yourself, and I asked the GP a long time ago, I said, oh, you know, mental health, that was the thing I was concerned about. I was concerned because I know that some people can really affect their mental health. And I feel quite mentally strong. I don't tend to suffer with mental health. But I think that, and I said, oh God, that's the thing I'm worried about. And she said, actually, the chances of, if you've not had mental health problems before, or, you know, depression or things like that, the chances of it happening are relatively slim. So at least that alleviated. I thought, oh, actually, I could probably cope with some physical symptoms, hot flushes.
But you will notice,
like,
I certainly did notice, and a lot of ladies notice a difference about how they feel about. So not necessarily they don't have to be, you know, class themselves or get diagnosed as clinically depressed.
No,
but they definitely start feeling different.
Yeah,
and experiencing feelings that they've never experienced before. And you know, and I've had a, you know, a blue day, as I would call
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas I have got so much get up and go normally, and mm-hmm. I find myself, I'm like on a stage in the gym,
yeah.
So I perform every day. And I've had days where I've just gone, I'm just going to stay in bed.
Yeah.
I've had days I've just stayed on the sofa all day. Not many. But I've had, and I think if you've never experienced that before, and you start feeling like that, it's quite scary. But yeah, just be as, I guess, if I was 25 again, into my 30s, I would have definitely have gone down the getting healthier and fit, or staying healthier and fitter. I was sort of quite healthy and fit in my 20s, quite slim. Did loads of stuff. Then in my 30s, I was career.
Yeah.
And sat behind a desk at meetings or in a car most of the time, and everything sort of went out the window. So gradually, I sort of did this expansion in size, and fitness levels went down. And I probably left it a bit too late to affect the menopause.
You've got fitter and healthier.
I'm fitter and healthier now in my 50s than I was in my 20s. Yeah. But I wouldn't have let myself get into such a bad state, I don't think, over my 30s.
Okay.
If I'd have known what was coming, maybe. And probably known as much about it.
Yeah, okay.
I'd have just, eaten healthier, stayed fitter, moved more, all the normal. Yeah, to get yourself in the best place to tackle it, really.
Yeah, to deal with it. Yeah. What about yourself?
I think what's difficult is because there's so many symptoms.
Yes.
And you don't know what is going to affect you. Yeah. And you don't know the extremities. And it's like Julie was saying, you can have, I think it just heightens certain feelings. So you might suddenly be so emotional out the blue and you have no idea. You're like, why am I crying over this? You know,
okay.
It can just not make any sense. So I think... Or people get angry, like really angry and upset, and to the point where some of my friends have been a bit, that's why they've gone to the doctor, because they've been almost felt like they're not in control of themselves, and they're worried they're going to do something silly, not necessarily to somebody else or to them, or you know, just they just can't control themselves. And these can be the most balanced people normally,
yeah,
and they're just like, well, how did you suddenly feel like that? And I think that's the thing, they come out the blue and they heighten things and you can't really make sense of them. So I think looking back, it's quite hard to kind of say, oh, you do this and do this, because you don't know what's going to happen. But I think the awareness that's out there, and everyone knows what could possibly happen.
Mm-hmm.
And like Julie said, it's that being fitter earlier and being aware of it earlier. So you kind of think, oh, that'll happen to me ages, I won't think about it now.
Yeah, I think, but that's the thing, isn't it? When you're 25, you're thinking...
You think it's miles
40,
away.
45, so it goes in the blink of an eye.
Yeah, but I'm sort of saying I'm 50 and perimenopausal, but, you know, some people can start going through it in their early 40s.
Totally.
So you don't want to go through it until I'm 50.
Through surgery and, medical reasons as well.
And
so
it brings it on early for some people as well. So I think it's that thing, is just having that awareness and reading up on it, even if you don't know when it's going to happen to you. So at least you know, and also being conscious of other people, like your friends and that, and spotting things, because they might not realize something, and you might notice something in them and going, well, you've been a bit sharp on that, or you know, and just, you know, saying to them, are you okay,
right, and checking in with people.
There's so many things out there, and so much sort of people to help you, and you know, information and products and all sorts of stuff now. But I was a bit like Julie. I mean, in my 30s, when I was career, and I was eating absolute
just rubbish.
Convenience and rubbish. And
you've got children as well.
One,
So
it was 4-bar Kit Kats, fat lattes and brie toasted sandwiches.
I think
that was my, it's great.
Lovely.
So nice and balanced.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. But you have to almost sometimes step back, get yourself away from that, and then refocus. I mean, that would definitely be something you can do.
You can start that like when you're in your 20s, you know, just be, I think being aware of it. It's definitely something to, you know, you don't have to worry about it. You just need to be aware. Okay, these are the things that I might face. Talk to your mum.
Yeah.
Find out what your mum went through.
Exactly.
Because the chances are it's going to be similar.
Yes.
It might not, but the chances are it's going to be similar.
I mean, some of the ladies that I've had sort of, you know, would send me messages or would chat to after sessions. It's having an environment as well that they can be open about it. They can talk about it. I write posts about it. You know, sometimes there might be death posts or serious posts, mm-hmm. but it's the fact that it just creates an atmosphere that it's normal.
Yeah.
And they're not the only ones that are feeling like it as well. Because a lot of ladies have just said, I just feel like it's me. Mm. But it's so lovely to know, actually, I'm just in a group of other ladies that are all...
Yeah, different levels, experiences, different symptoms. Yeah.
So don't have to hide behind anything. Whereas I think before it was probably the change.
Yes, the change. Yeah. You're going through the change and you do it yourself, deal with it at home.
Don't get any help for it.
That's right. Just you went to the doctor and said, can you give me HRT? And they went, well, maybe. Or they said, no, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I think that's the most important thing. So ladies, if you're listening and you want to talk about it, we'll talk about it with you. Yeah, you may not be going through the same thing, but... you know, feel that you can talk to us about, especially in any of the gyms. And for all you men trainers and coaches out there, be aware that these ladies are going through that. Christian, who was on here last week, he's done a lot of menopause training. So he's, in fact, all of our coaches have access to menopause training continually. So that's really good. So, you know, thank you both for coming to talk about it. I just want to give everybody a little bit of an update on Sarah. So Sarah is our coach in Northampton. She came in the first week. She's got her operation on Monday for her hip replacement, so super excited about that. And we were talking about goals as well over Christmas. So how did your Christmas go? Did you put any weight on over Christmas?
slight 2-week all-inclusive holiday. Yeah, didn't help.
Okay.
little bit.
Have you got it off?
Almost, yes. Okay. Yes, I did a reset when I came back. Braved it, did my measurements, did my weights back at the gym, started writing my food diary back to basics.
So, okay, that's good. Yeah, that's
refocus.
Good. Julie? Yeah,
we did the January jeans challenge.
Okay. So, yeah. And did you put any on over
Christmas? Yeah, I don't weigh. I don't own a pair of scales. Okay. But I do have that pair of jeans that my size 10 skinny jeans. So if I can't get them done up, then I know I need to be a bit.
Okay, and you're back in them now?
Weeks, but yeah, we're back in.
So I weighed, I did a little video about it on this morning, actually. It was really actually what I was trying to highlight is weighing on different scales and how different scales weigh differently depending on the time of day that you wear, what you're wearing and all that sort of thing. So I started at the beginning of January and I weighed 71.2 and today I weighed 69.2. So I was quite happy with that. But yesterday when I went to a chiropractor to... have somebody him look at my shoulder, and he weighed me fully clothed in the middle of the day, having had food and drink, and I weighed 2 kilos more, in fact nearly 3 kilos more than what I weighed this morning. So I was just trying to highlight different scales will weigh differently because they're weight. People get lots of people get a different time of the day,
different time of the month.
Different time of the month. What I'm wearing, what food I've eaten the day before, all of those things will have an impact. So just be aware, ladies, that obviously stick with the same set of scales. So if you're weighing in the gym, weigh in the gym. If you're weighing at home, you know, weigh at home. Obviously, what we would suggest is that you do try and weigh with, if you're with us, weigh with us, and then you can just keep that same consistency because what we're looking at is that continual pattern down. But yeah, so I'm happy that I got my five pounds off by the end of the month. So I'm chuffed with that. And now it's February and now we've got to focus on this month and what I'm going to achieve. So I need to have a think about that and decide what I want to achieve. I think I'm trying to drop my body fat this month rather than focus on, now that I've got back down there, I want to look at where I am with regards to my body fat. But thank you both for coming. Thank you for our chat about the menopause. And as I said, ladies, if you've got any questions, please come and talk to us. We may know the answer, we may not. But
if we don't know, we'll find out.
Yes. And share your experiences. And if you're really struggling, please go and see a doctor, because that is what we would suggest to anybody who is really suffering with their menopausal symptoms.